Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
In the 2024 NFL Draft, the Washington Commanders select Jaden Daniels, quarterback, LSU.
Welcome back to You Better You Bet, brought to you by BetMGM with Nick Kostos and Ken Barkley on the BetQL Network.
The voice, NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell, announcing Jaden Daniels as the second overall pick last night. That's one of my favorite bets that I placed throughout this whole process was Daniels to go second. I placed that after, maybe Baldy came on the show. I was like, oh, it's Jaden Daniels.
I was on vacation.
You were on vacation,
you came
correct.
Back and you were like, while you were gone... It seems like Daniels is going to go second and the market hasn't totally responded to that. I was like, oh, okay. Like, maybe. You know, I didn't know anything.
So Jaden Daniels does, in fact, go second to the Washington Commanders. Commanders win total sitting at 6.5. And we'll talk about the Giants also this segment. They take Malik Nabers. Don't end up trading up for Drake May. Giants win total 6.5. Also, the Giants juiced to the under, Washington juiced over. Noops, Alex Christensen will join us in 20 minutes to talk some NBA to start hour number two. We'll do a lot more NBA and NHL over the course of the show. Offensive and defensive rookie of the year preliminary discussion, and we'll continue talking the NFL draft. Baldy and Dave Wanstead coming up in hour number three. But Ken, let's pair these two together since we did this in the NFC North. Two teams in the NFC East that picked in the top 10. The Commanders get their quarterback of the future in Jaden Daniels. The Giants unable to select their quarterback of the future and instead select a number one wide receiver for Daniel Jones. And Giants fans are now convinced that Daniel Jones will become Patrick Mahomes because he has like a number one receiver, which I disagree with, but whatever. Maybe you disagree with me, Ken. Thoughts here, please, on Washington and the Giants in the NFC East after what we saw last night.
Well, it's funny, right? And I think you did a good job just bringing up both teams' win totals, even if like the price is different each way. Like they're essentially rated really similarly as teams. They have the same price to win their division. They're both viewed as non-factors to win their division. And I don't think I disagree with any of that. Like I do think that both teams are unlikely to win their division. And I do think that both teams are unlikely to win a lot of regular season games. But like, I guess my point is, like, at least I think the Commanders would have a shot because they have a quarterback we've never seen before. I mean, this is the Bears and the Vikings again. When you bring in a rookie, like, yeah, sometimes you're going to get Bryce Young, but sometimes you're going to get CJ Stroud. And when you get CJ Stroud, really good things happen. Whereas there's nothing, none of that with Daniel Jones. There's none of that here. Here's Malik Nabers. Great. Like, I don't care. Like, however I'm going to bet the Giants this year relies 0% on whether they drafted Malik Nabers or not. Now, if they had picked a quarterback, I'm not saying I would have bet the over on a win total, but you would at least have to think about them a little differently, how you would like distribute their wins. Okay, well, what percent of the time are they winning 7, 8, 9? And then the bad outcomes also. And I think with Washington, the really bad outcomes and the really good outcomes get a little bit of a boost because Jaden Daniels is a total unknown. When Daniel Jones stays with the Giants, I honestly, like, if you were to say, like, which team right now is most likely to finish very close to their win total, Giants would be really close to the top of the list in terms of, like, yeah, they're 6.5 and they are stuck like glue to that 6.5. Whereas Washington, the Patriots, the Titans, like, these teams are like, they could be around those really bad numbers, or they could be pretty good. Like, they could actually be, there's some upside here because, you know, just a quarterback uncertainty, new coaches in some situations. Carolina, make the same argument. Can Canales fix Bryce Young at least? And there's none of that with the Giants. So I don't think 6.5 doesn't make me want to bet anything. It actually means like, yeah, like I think they're a 6.5 and I don't think they're ever anything different than that, which is almost more depressing than if they were like a 4.5 or a 3.5 with upside. Like, no, they're a 6.5 and like, I'll go to my grave that they're a 6.5.
I had Giants fans trying to tell me, like, oh, they could win, like, 9 games this year. They did it a couple years ago. I'm like, what drugs are you on that the Giants are going above 500 this season? Like, look, I don't, I've done this a lot already. Like, I don't need to do it again. Like, Daniel Jones isn't good. Like, the quarterback's bad. So, great, Malik Nabers is there. Also, the quarterback's bad. And, great, you got Brian Burns. Also, the quarterback's bad. And I'll ask this question. Which team in the NFC East has the worst quarterback right now? Who's the worst quarterback right now in the NFC East?
Dak Prescott. I mean, you know, like I get like you're going to say Jones and I can't argue you're wrong because Daniels hasn't played yet. So it's kind of a silly question because one guy hasn't played, but yeah.
Well, but who would you take? You could take one for 1 year, not over the course of take one.
Like next season, who would I rather have be my starting quarterback next season? Daniels.
Yeah.
Because if I have Daniels, there's even like a 1% chance I can win the division.
I appreciate you saying in the way that you think that it's silly. It's a silly question to ask. I don't even think it's like up for debate. I think Jones is bad. I think Daniels. I guess Daniels could be bad also, but
yeah,
probably
that's
not.
That's just my point. I can't say he's average. He's a question mark. That's the whole point.
I'd take Daniels and not even think twice about it over Daniel Jones.
This is from yesterday. Yeah. Like you get to roll the dice with Daniel Jones. You're like sitting there with your hands in your pocket. You're not even at the table. Like you get to roll the dice if you have Daniels. It's great.
I don't know if Dable and Joe Shane get to come back next season if they go like 5-12 this year. And I think Giants fans are convinced, oh, they're definitely going to get a fourth year. Really? Like 9-6-5? And you get year four after that? I don't know if that's the case. I think it's brutal, but this is not a New York show and not a Giants show. I'm like very unhappy with how this went last night as a Giants fan. Why don't we do this in lieu of going through every pick because we have other stuff we have to get to over the course of the program. We could do more quarterbacks here. We did McCarthy. We could talk about Penix in Atlanta, Bo Nix in Denver. That win total's 5.5 juiced over.
How do we not do Penix in the first hour, right? Half the time. I mean, it's just like... How surprised were you? Whenever you found out, you're probably the guy who finds out like 45 seconds beforehand. But when you find out, like,
well, I think I even texted like you, like, wow, like a couple minutes. Because I got tipped off that it was going to be the pick, and it was just like I couldn't believe it. Did someone trade up to 8? Was my thought. Like it was is this person wrong?
Well, my first thought was is Cousins okay? That was my first.
Right. Because there were people that had said, and I kind of dismissed it, maybe incorrectly. But there were some people that were saying that Atlanta really liked Penix. I kind of dismissed it as thinking, you know, probably maybe a smokescreen, maybe trying to get people to come up and trade. I never considered the fact that Atlanta would just actually take Penix. So when people before the draft say Atlanta's doing work on Michael Penix, I kind of translate that as, hey, Raiders or whomever, you know, Saints, Seahawks, teams that were rumored to be interested in Penix after the fact, you want this guy, like, this is, like, you got to come up to 8. This is where, otherwise, like, we may take him. That's how I took it. I did not take it
down.
As Atlanta.
Or Atlanta is not going to pick 8th, right? They're not going to pick 8th. They're going to trade with somebody else, and they're going to go down, and they think Penix is going to be there at whatever, 25, whatever it is. Yeah.
So I don't know if it's, like, the worst pick of all time, because Cousins' contract is essentially a 2-year deal.
Right.
Like, they get out of this after 2 years. So it's not the worst thing ever if Cousins is the quarterback for 2 years and, like, you have Michael Penix there. But there's another argument to make, which is, like, you signed Cousins because you feel like you can win, and then how do you not take someone, even if the player, like, let's say they drafted Dallas Turner. Even if Dallas Turner is the 8th pick in a draft where he's actually, like, the 19th best player, okay, like, you don't really need an offensive player. Or you could take Roma Dunze there and double down on offense. So I actually think this one goes both ways. I don't really want to take, like, a hard stand here because we could get a couple years from now. Like, if Cousins plays 2 years and then Penix plays and Penix is awesome, it's like all the people that banged on the Jordan Love pick. And I understand it's not the exact same situation. Like, Jordan Love's awesome and no one's complaining about it now. So I want to give this one a little bit of time here. I actually like don't have a strong thought on this one way or another.
Well, I just think the take is just, it's maybe like the most surprised I've been in a long time with a first round pick, especially one that's like this high profile, right? Like Cleveland Farrell gets picked by the Raiders. I'm sure there are a lot of people who cover the draft who are just like...
What about Jordan Love? Later in the first
round,
so maybe
it was later in
the
first.
Didn't carry the shock value.
Yeah, so I think, sure.
But that one was a stunner, right? That one was a stunner.
I remember, I'm never plugged in for these drafts, so like a lot of these surprised me. Like when the Ravens went back in for Lamar, I remember being like, oh my God, like that's insane. So
Flacco,
like the quarterback stuff
towards the end of his career there.
Right, so but I was still just like, oh my God, and then like the Ravens do it, so you're like, oh, I guess Lamar Jackson's gonna be awesome. It's like when the Spurs used to draft a player, be like, well, I've never heard of him, and he plays in Lithuania, but
and it was really Ozzie's good. Last right. pick also, so it was just right. you know,
yeah, just it was like it was almost like a TV show level of drama, And yeah, but just because this one was so early and because it was this team, and yeah, it was, I mean, I was like really for minutes after my wife was watching the draft with me, like, you know, like casual NFL fan, like works for some of the teams even. And so she cares, and the Jets and Giants were both drafting early, and those are the teams that she does some stuff for. So like, you know, we're both watching, and like even like four or five, six picks later, I just like kind of would keep turning at her and just being like, I still can't believe the Falcons drafted Michael Penix Jr. Like, I can't believe it. And I don't like who am I to be like he's gonna be bad or good? We just did this with all the other rookie quarterbacks. Like the people that know the most and are the biggest experts fail 4 out of 5 times. So the idea that I'm gonna have the take that like he's good or it just like what's the point then? So like but the idea that you bring up is just like if you think you can win the Super Bowl and you give Cousins the money because you're ready to win, then like this is not a ready to win pick. That's easy to understand. I think everybody gets that part of it. So that's just the part that's a little confusing is like, hey, when they're like 9 and 8 this year, everyone's gonna say the same thing, which is like, hey, like could have used another impact player to like get you to the bye or get you to like a home game later in the playoffs or something like that. Like that's kind of all I think either of us are interested in talking about because that is a betting take. Like, I'm not saying like if they took Dallas Turner, I'd bet the Falcons to win the Super Bowl. I think they almost have a 0% chance to win the Super Bowl this year. But like, and whoever they took, I would feel that way. But like, team quality wise, like that's it's you know like it depending if they took Odunze, like well maybe they can have like the number one offense this year or something like that. Like maybe that could happen and they could win more games. That's just all that goes in the evaluation. Now it's like a it's a nothing burger for the whole year. It's only a future thing. So yeah, just totally surprised. Doesn't make me want to bet anything or anything like that. It's more like about the team building aspect of this that people are so interested in.
Yeah, and like, you know, it's not apples to apples, but with Green Bay, everyone's a well, you should have drafted a receiver. T. Higgins is the name that gets brought up all the time. Like, they could have drafted T. Higgins, pair him with Devontae Adams, maybe gets the Packers over the hump from like that string of just like crushing playoff losses in the Rodgers LaFleur partnership. So, I mean, like, you could have made, like, if they draft T. Higgins there and don't draft Jordan Love, do they win the Super Bowl? I don't know. Also, it's Rodgers, it's not Kirk Cousins. I'm willing to say a little bit, like, jury out on this a little bit. Because, again, 2 years from now, if Penix starts and he's sick, and he's not going to be that old at that point, it can't be like when Terry Fontenot says, yeah, if he sits for 4 years, yeah, then they have to pick up his fifth-year option and he's never played before. Like, that's asinine to say that. Like, what this pick means is that Cousins is the quarterback for 2 years max, and then he's out, and then Penix is the guy. So, like, anyone that's trying to sell you anything differently, like, doesn't know what he or she is talking about. And maybe Penix is great, and then no one's going to complain about the pick. We'll get more into the NFL draft next hour. Hour one done, hour two for you coming up on the other side. We start hour number two talking NBA playoffs with our good friend, Noops.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on the BetQL Network.